world go round. We're good.
Is this a Richard Nixon moment?
Who?
You're old enough. Maybe not.
I'm old enough. I remember it.
This is Finance Administration. Council members Olson and Greg Hansen are here. Council member Kate Hansen is absent yet again. We will have council member Gary Jensen sitting in for her. E, resolution surplus vehicles.
Go ahead. I wasn't, I didn't know that I was sitting in for Circa today, so. Or you're sitting in for Circa, whoever it is.
We've got three vehicles, two Crown Victorias and one Ford Explorer, which are past their useful life for their intended purposes, and we wish to surplus those vehicles.
You don't wish to add them to your fleet out there?
No. We've actually done a very good job, I think, adding stuff to our fleet at this point. We don't need a 2006 or 2004 Crown Vic, or Crown Vic period, probably.
Great.
Or a 2002.
Well, soon to be a teenage Vic driver.
I've driven
right.
them.
Yeah. Demolition Derby.
So have I, and I love them.
Really?
That's just,
we know where you can get two of them in a good deal.
<Yeah. laughs> Look like the Blues Brothers. Okay.
Motion to put on consent.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Claims. I put forth two on lawyers, and one apparently is the Washington Straight fiasco that needs a wooden stake through its heart, and the other was Summit Law, which is our union negotiation stuff. So I've gotten my answers, but if anybody was curious about those.
So there were a couple that I was kind of interested in.
Give me a number.
We'll start at the bottom. It's a long one. It's 120120397 U.S. Bank. So bond interest sewer from 2011, 14, 14, 11. I mean, totaling about $235,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious what that is.
Just the existing debt within our utilities. They make twice annual interest payments and once annual principal payments.
Okay.
So
the year notation is the year of the
year of issuance.
Okay.
And I think here, you know, based on Public Works Director's comments earlier today, these are bond interest payments where we're not going to be looking at a bond for the wastewater treatment plant.
Well,
I'm sorry. Hopefully.
So then going up from there, 93463 Whatcom land title, ROW acquisition for $225,000?
Yeah, that is the payment for the Gustafson's property on the eastern side of the tracks for the Thornton Overcrossing.
So were you able to come to an agreement with them?
Yes.
Okay, and they're happy?
I have not
personally
it's resolved. Had a conversation with them, but... Okay. I understand that they have found a nice place up in Blaine, and it meets their needs. I saw some photos of it. It looked like a nice place. It did fit within the compensation package that we had available. There will be an additional payment after this to round out. They had to make the payment in order to receive the additional funds, but it fell within what our offer was. So, consistent with all of our plans, and that is reimbursed by the Department of Transportation through the Connecting Washington dollars. So it's essentially a pass-through for...
That's good to hear, actually, that the Gustafson property has been...
That was
one of the more difficult ones.
I really did not want to do anything...
I agree.
Yeah.
So, there was ones like the. I think I'll find it now. It was like Dude Consulting.
Mm.
Dude Solutions.
Dude Solutions. Dude. That's the one. For a,
14
for
grand.
14 grand. So what did the dude do for us?
The dude runs SmartGov, which is the permit tracking software that we use for all the permits within the city.
And our permits abide.
It is the most unfortunate name for a company on the planet.
Especially given what he's doing.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's not confidence inspiring.
Well, and there are multiple, so it's basically a frat house. You know,
yeah.
Where SmartGov was like, okay, smart government and Dude Solutions.
Dude.
It's a solution for the dudes.
Mm. It needs to be renamed.
Well, you know, it grabbed my attention for sure, and that's the whole point, right? I think that was.
I just have one. 93443 Laura Todd Consulting.
Yes.
Who is that?
That was for our retreat. She was our facilitator. So that was, I think it was the first and last payment to her.
I'm changing careers.
Well, she put up with us for 4 hours. Most
did
of
you
us.
Accomplish what you needed to accomplish?
Yeah, it was very productive. Well,
yes, depends on proof is in the proof is in the pudding. Yeah.
Who you ask, right?
Yeah, and what your goals were. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Motion for consent.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
And I'm sorry, I'm a poor replacement for Susan. Did we put the surplus vehicles on consent?
We did, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you know, I didn't look at the other document for claims. I had another question about the credit card bill.
Yes.
If I can get it to load up. There's so Riley, it's to you.
All right.
So the two movies,
yes.
About $275 a piece, is that about right?
Yes, that sounds about
right. And so we have to purchase the rights to show those movies publicly, is that basically the deal?
We purchase both the rights and the physical hard copy of the movie.
Okay. So we own those rights forever?
No. That is our rights to show to a certain group of people on a certain day.
Okay.
And there's all sorts of limitations about what you can and can't show and when and how you advertise.
So I've not studied this, so I have to defer to you, but my understanding was that the only reason that you have to purchase the rights is if you're actually charging or benefiting in some way financially from that. Is that true?
No. If you are showing a film in a public venue,
okay,
where the public can come and see it, so it's not a private showing at your house, but
okay,
it's in a public setting, you have to purchase the rights to screen
okay
it.
Right. Right.
Now, if you're making money, it's much, much more.
Okay.
But we get the cheap rate because it's a free public thing.
Okay.
So.
And the age of the movie has nothing to do.
It does, actually. So if we were to show Captain Marvel, that would be much more expensive because it's a new release. And then there's all sorts of limitations about when you can do the showing. So, for instance, we're doing Nightmare Before Christmas on October 11th because it is a fantastic Halloween movie. We could not do it on October 12th because it gets blacklisted because they start showing it on television.
Okay.
So
that answers.
Yeah. We did the same thing with Hocus Pocus last year, where we could do it on the... I did on the exact day we were before it gets blacklisted.
Good job, Riley.
But we're doing Space Jam, for those of you listening. Space Jam this summer for Flicks in the Park, before it gets remade with LeBron.
Which will be much more expensive.
This one has Bill Murray.
If it's got Bill Murray, then it's got to be good.
Right?
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you.
So the Chamber doesn't do the Flicks in the Park anymore?
Yeah, this year the Chamber made the decision that they were not interested in doing either Haunt the Park or Flicks in the Park. And
they're going to do Haunt
the Park. Yeah, they're not doing Haunt the Park. But our fledgling parks program is scooping both of those events up because we believe they're valuable to our community. So we're doing Flicks in the Park, and Haunt the Park is going to evolve a little bit. It's going to be an interactive mystery in the park. So a little bit of a murder mystery there. Should be lots of fun.
I know that the chamber has pulled back on a lot of their events intentionally.
Yeah.
So it's they're trying to kind of refocus their mission. And so, yeah, they've pulled way back. They no longer employ an event coordinator either. So.
Right. But it gives us an opportunity to take the events and make them our own and kind of suit them for our purposes. So.
Okay.
Item G.
Yes, that's me. The city is being asked to consider approving a $3,392 payment to Whatcom County Old Settlers Association for the purpose of reimbursing them for improvements made to the south roof of the bar barn earlier this year. Volunteers for the Old Settlers Association found that there was an apparent leak or possibility of leaks that could have caused some damage, and so that work was completed by Nolan's Roofing again earlier this year. So that is the question before council, whether to approve that payment, which represents one-third of the cost. I will talk a little bit about the next subject, which is a little bit separate from your decision. But that is resolving the shared responsibilities of these buildings in that area is important, and I know that in speaking with representatives of the Old Settlers Association as well as representatives of the Ferndale Heritage Society, there is always that, you know, push and pull in terms of who's responsible for what. We believe that the buildings are owned by the city, with the exception of the Old Settlers Weekend, pursuant to a formalized agreement. But it is probably time or past time to, you know, figure out with everybody around the same table how we can all help each other and do it proactively. So that's separate from your decision as far as, you know, the share of the funding. But I think that it is something that both the Old Settlers Association and Heritage have expressed a desire to sit down and talk with the city. And we've asked the city attorney to also help us wade through it, not as a litigious thing, but just to make sure that we can all look at the same piece of paper and not rely on necessarily relationship issues, because those can sometimes get good or bad.
Yes.
Councilmember Bursch might want to speak.
Sure. Was this brought to the city before the roof repair was done with the estimate?
I became aware of it, I think, after the work
after
was completed.
Yeah.
Heritage got the bid and had the work done, and we had agreed to pay part,
right,
the Old Settlers did. And then going way back to the 70s when the city bought the property, everything became theirs except the contents in the buildings, and Heritage is the curators of that. And so the city did do all the maintenance down there for a period of time, and then why they quit, I don't know, but they just quit doing it. And because we're down there a lot and we were really proud of those buildings, I guess we just kind of stepped up, Heritage and Old Settlers stepped up, and we had work parties all the time. At least once a month we had a work party down there on Saturdays and did what needed to be done. And now it seems as though Old Settlers and Heritage are the only ones paying, and we just felt that it was time to get this figured out and why the city isn't paying. Why are we putting $10,000 into a barn roof, and that's only half the roof, and the city owns it? So that's kind of where we're at.
John? Thanks for being here. I am probably going to say what we're probably all thinking is sort of the cart before the horse issue, but it seems like in last year's budget we were asked to provide some monies for,
was that for the chinking?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was $15,000, and it was in the budget.
And we were able to do it. You know, budgets for us, sometimes there's a lot of money, sometimes there isn't. I think from the city side, it would have been better if there was a bid, we can sometimes add this mid-year, we can make what we call budget adjustments. I can speak probably for most of us here that it's a little difficult to then get a bill after the fact that we didn't have a chance to say, because maybe we could have done it. We helped people kick and we'll give them some data. So
I guess my question is then, who's checking on these buildings? Who's going in the barn and looking up and seeing daylight through it besides us? Is anybody from the city doing that?
I think that kind of sidesteps what we're trying to get at here is I think whoever were to see the leak or the damage, I think it would have been good to come to the city and say, we have a need, can we share this need? We appreciate deeply you guys are keeping an eye on it. I see you guys every weekend. I think we're talking here about a focus on an eye and a bill here. That's
okay, well, that's why it needs to get straightened out, because Heritage went ahead and just had it done. They checked with us, but evidently they're tired of checking with you guys. Is kind of how I'm seeing it. And that's not a bad thing. It's just that with Heritage and Old Settlers, our roots go so deep, and it's really a personal thing that you're proud of what you've made that park. And my dad was involved, my grandpa was involved, my great uncles were involved. It goes back a long ways for me. And so for me to just sit there and go, yep, there's holes in the roof, wonder if the city will fix it, that's kind of...
Steph, who's the council liaison? Was the council liaison to the Old Settlers?
Teresa was until I was appointed.
Excuse me, I was at Heritage. Pardon my misspoke. Well, before you, though.
Teresa.
Because I think the reason we have a liaison to Old Settlers, which is me, and then you said Teresa.
Yeah, and I attend all the meetings.
Yeah, is to say, hey, we have they bring it to us. If you had expressed that to me, you did. I don't know.
It's a learning curve for me too. Just how you guys are determining. Okay, we're going to go to the city with this, but it's a little late for me. After the fact, it's been repaired, and now you ask for the money. So I think that we should be involved up front,
absolutely,
so that we can plan on some of the work.
Gary? Boy, historic. Laura, you're not going to like this part of it. You know, it's been a constant problem over the years that you're incorrect that the, you know, the city kind of stopped doing stuff. The city's always done stuff, and it's always been a pretty good partnership, and you know, the city owns the buildings, and the contents are owned by it's actually the Old Settlers, it's not the Heritage Society. The Heritage Society basically, in terms of city, is a subcommittee of Old Settlers, but that's a whole issue that we can debate for hours on that.
Yeah.
I've been involved in a lot of those. But it's always been a constant problem of, between the Old Settlers and Heritage, that, you know, we're going to do something and we'll tell you afterwards. And most of the stuff is okay, but I mean, the last big one was the new archway over the entrance, you know, and they're, you know, and God, they're digging down there, and there's water lines and everything. It's like, okay, can somebody just tell us? You know, and that's always been that thing. It's like, I don't know, I haven't been involved, I don't know why they would say they wouldn't come to the city, but, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, you gotta come to the city and get approval to do something, especially when you're doing something on somebody else's building. You know, it's like, I don't care if I have renters, and I love when my renters do stuff, but they should tell me first. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, okay, you can't replace the roof without talking to me. And then I probably agree to pay a portion of it. So that, but we've never really had that formal thing, and so you need to have that. It's been done. They have the roof. I understand where you're coming from, and it's another example of somehow both parties haven't done. But the roof needed to be repaired. It's a great building. It's historic. And, you know, the fact that the city's only paying a third of a roof on their building, I think that's a good deal. I think the bill should be paid. I understand where you're coming from, John. But it's time to, you know, to try and get that together. But it's, I guess I've said it before. I've tried to do it before, and obviously, it's been a failure to get all those people together, because you have some really independent thinking people. It's just like, you know, they have their own keys, and okay, we've done it this way all along, and you go back to that. I mean, half of you probably haven't even read the document. You read it, it's just a one page, really not very professional written document. Says, they didn't buy it. It's like, here, we're giving it to you because we can't maintain it anymore, and so we're giving it to you. It wasn't any money. It's like, okay, we're giving it to you. And they said, okay, well, it's a pretty good deal. Yes, we'll start taking over. But it's never no formal thing of do this or do that. Failure to communicate isn't an excuse for, you know, being stupid. I mean, it's stupid that you went ahead and did it without knowing. I still think the city should pay it. But Yuri, I would, if you could somehow get those people together, that's great. One of these days, Bo and I used to talk about it, it's like, as a mayor, I used to go, one of these days, I'm just going to cut you guys off because you just keep doing things without asking. It's not the first time we had this discussion. Just come and ask. It's not tough. That's my take.
So I think that we'll be able to get them together, whether or not it lasts for 5 minutes or not. We'll see. And hopefully, what we can do is there's a lot of what I would expect to be preventative maintenance is a lot of what we're talking about, where that should be able to be identified several years out and then budgeted. And hopefully that's going to be a primary component of what we talk about, as well as the various responsibilities. The other thing that we're hoping that council will agree to, because it relies on you, is asking more of the liaison assignments as far as reporting back to the full council and to staff, where the groups that you are liaisons to, if they are talking about these plans and expecting that it gets communicated back to whomever, we would like to hear about that, because I would expect that probably this was discussed at some point, and that's, you know, we'll work on templates for you that can be, are there any action items for the city? And it's a pretty simple report that we see.
And that's how it works in a lot of other cities,
right.
Is that there's a time built into the agenda for liaison reports.
John? Yeah. Well, as you know, it's a council decision and not a mayor decision. And my feeling is the issue of precedent comes up. And I see that the model of the chinking of the whale, and that was not a small item, I don't think. It was quite a bit. Where one of the two groups came and said, hey, we need this, can we do it? We looked and we said yes. And on this one, there would be, I think my preference, if council do what you want, is that we not pay for this one, but actually look at next year's budget to participate in some of the projects that they brought me. Because there will be a project every year. There's always something that needs to be done. Again, council could do what it wishes, but I think we were not part of this, and I think we should have been, personally. So that's my feeling.
Carol?
I just want to clarify, I was not suggesting that we don't pay. No, the third. I support that 100%.
The other thing is, I know there's chinking going on right now.
Yeah.
And I think kind of what happened here was Heritage brought it up that the roof was leaking. We all went out and looked at it. Yeah, it needs to be redone. Only half, not the north side, but just the south side. And then we brought it up at the meeting. I know it was brought up the May meeting. It might have been brought up at the April meeting of Old Settlers. And I was told to write a letter to the city. So I've done that. But in the meantime, Heritage had it done. So I know that there's kind of an issue with communication between the two of us and the city. And I think that really needs to be cleared up.
Is there a liaison for the Old Settlers?
There is, and we would have a different one.
Oh, okay.
Can I make a statement?
Sure.
And I can see where the city is coming from, the cart before the horse. I understand that. I used to own a business here in town. But my statement is that if you, the city, is looking at this particular park as an investment, which it should be, you have millions and millions of dollars down there that are, was it in the buildings itself? If you were out to go get an estimate as to how much it would cost to replace those, which you couldn't, They're the only ones that were in the Whatcom County. We're not going to find any more. That's what we're looking at, is that the city owns them. You need to deserve them. We're willing to be able to put money out to help you to preserve that. But we are strictly 100% volunteer group. And we are only, right now, 20-some people. And we put on the parade and the old settlers for this community. We do not get anything out of it except the pride that we have helped keep that park alive. But it belongs to the city.
You and I touched on this a little bit, because when I first read this report, my question was, if the city owns it, why is anybody paying for it other than the city? But I don't know the past stuff, that's kind of where I was talking with Yori. Nobody else gets to go do the work and then hand us a bill. I would be for paying this, and then we immediately issue a letter to both groups, or however many groups are, to cease and desist. If you do any of this stuff, we will not pay for any of it if it's not authorized by us. And then go to your idea of a sit down and work out a formal agreement, because if they would like to donate stuff, that's fine, but ultimately we own them. We don't ask them to take care of this roof, and if we own it, we have to pay for it. To me, that's simple. So I don't know your thoughts on that.
I think from staff level, that would be appreciated, because I think that it is, since it is, they are our buildings, and there is some liability to the city if something went wrong. Anyway, so that's important. But then also the clear directive from council that it is your expectation that we all sit down, we resolve this. And I really think it would be for mutual benefit, because it sounds like right now there's a lot of effort being made probably on all sides without that effort being fully recognized. And
right.
I think that a formal agreement could improve that.
And I don't want to sit... I don't want to see council liaisons be responsible for transmitting that. I think your idea of a formal form that is delivered to whomever you decided to deliver it to, so that there's a way to track this stuff, and not this word of mouth is what's getting us in trouble.
Precisely.
So if we can get that, will it work? I don't know, but you've issued the letter. We're not paying anything else unless you will come through us. Hopefully that gets the point across. Gary?
So if you go back in history, the objective is that the reason why the city didn't always pay everything is that both groups did, their stated goal of both their groups is to put on events and to use the profit for that back into the park. And that was never a written thing. And so, but the stated objective was that old settlers, and they do it all the time, you've been doing it for years, their objective was, we put on the picnic, we charge an admission, we charge things, because that money goes solely back into the park. Same with Heritage Society, back into the park. I've argued with them a couple times, I'm still sensitive to that, hey, if you're taking money and do it someplace else, if you're doing a scholarship or something, that's against. But it never was a formal agreement, it was an informal agreement. It says, you're earning money off the park, and you put it back in the park, and that's what it's always been. So and you guys have never went aside from that. It's all the Heritage Society has. So, but that's part of that. Maybe that's that time to say, here's why we're doing it. You're using a city facility, and you're making money, and you're putting it back in the park. Kind of a whole different deal, but that's kind of your objective. But before I get things, I would like to make a formal, because I'm part of this committee, I'll make a formal move to pay this bill. And I'd love a second.
A second.
Okay.
With the caveat that goes along with a letter saying this is the last time that there's a process that needs to take place. We need to approve of those expenses prior to the work being done. So I'll second that motion.
Thank you.
We have our own rules that we have to abide by for bidding and stuff.
Right.
This is violating it completely.
And what I would hope, just as far as the long range agreement, is that we will be able to identify roles and responsibilities, also identify the things that need to be done as part of like a 6-year plan or whatever, identify the funding sources from both the city and these organizations based upon the average annual income that we feel comfortable with. So if these organizations can bring $50,000 or $100,000, whatever it is each year, $10,000 each year, $100 each year, that we can then say, okay, and the costs are going to be X or Y, and the city's responsible for that, and then if there's a delta, here are the grants that we would seek, and we would push those things that need grant funding out further so that we can see. We do now have a part-time grant writer on staff. We're hoping to bring another one on, and those are the sort of things that are probably not $1 million. Probably we are talking about $5,000 or $10,000, where those might be grants that we can seek from others as well. But so, yeah, we kind of have a plan on where we can go. It's just we need the buy-in from everyone to come in and be willing to be engaged.
Correct. So if we were to allow the relationship though to go forward in a similar way. And what I mean by that is that, say, repairs to buildings are kind of initiated, researched by one of these two organizations, and the city kicks in like a portion of the cost. Would that relieve us of some of the responsibilities for, say, competing bids, small works roster, those sorts of things? Or if the city is putting in one dime, then it has to follow those.
Yeah. We've always ignored that issue.
Okay. So I just messed things up by bringing it up. Sorry.
Lauren.
There are plans to build a stage down there.
Yes.
Does that totally cease and desist that also?
We're working with someone on some designs, and so it's somewhat theoretical until we have some solid designs to work with.
Okay, so are you talking about Howard?
Yeah.
Okay, he's got a design. He's taken it to the engineer now.
Cool. Well, when we've got something that's buildable, then we can talk. Until then, it's just talk.
Okay. Prime example, then Howard needs to know. Good. It comes to the city.
Yeah, and
Howard's doing this.
Yeah, Howard's in the loop with the city on
this. This project originated at City Hall.
Yeah.
No, it did not. It originated with Old Settlers.
This current phase, I think you know what I'm talking about. And so we started some ideas here, and then we reached out to Howard. And this particular project represents, I think, a pretty healthy partnership with the city.
The point is we're aware of it and working on it.
I have a motion.
Yeah, we need a vote.
I know. I'm calling for the question.
I need a second on that, too.
There you go.
Second.
Wait, one.
You've got a motion and a second.
I told nobody to do anything complicated. I'm not Susan. Just vote.
Well, I think we could discuss this issue ad nauseum.
Oh, yes.
I certainly could spend hours on it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Can you get that letter, like,
yesterday?
After lunch, maybe? Or, you know, I'm talking about as quick as you can before anything else rears its ugly head.
Skip lunch.
I will ignore all phone calls or emails from council members and get this done.
It's going to take you a while to have a meeting of all those, and I would love to be involved in that meeting, but it's going to take you a while. It's certainly not the first time, probably won't be the last time, but it's certainly a valiant effort, and you're young and new city executive, and maybe you'll be the hero.
John?
We'll get you a cake.
I think our city clerk would ask, was that on consent, or is that going to be in the regular meeting?
I think this was direction provided to staff. So that's
I
how
I
because we can
on consent to pay a meal. Like,
well,
that's off budget.
We can pay this administratively.
Yeah, we do that
and
with
this,
other things that suddenly crop up that we find money in the budget that we never spent. So, yes, I know that can be done because I've questioned some of those.
So what
you're
I...
Right.
what I have here is it was a motion to provide direction to staff, and it was pretty clear.
Deal with it. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
We will pay that portion of the bill, and we will transmit a letter.
Carol?
At last month's meeting at the Heritage Society, they brought to the attention to the membership that was there that they discussed a drinking fountain outside of the pavilion.
Mr. Runcie's been looking into that.
Okay, good.
It's good. The challenge, of course, is you kick in ADA access to the drinking fountain. You've got to provide drainage for it, or else you're going to collect rodents and things like that. It sounded to me like a very simple, easy idea. I was going to do it in a minute. But Mr. Rentz reminded me that it's not that simple. But
it is
we
being looked at.
We actually think we have the location.
Good. How come the water fountains in the pavilion bathroom area aren't used?
Yeah. They have a beautiful water fountain there.
Is it that it's not open?
It's always locked, the doors.
They don't keep the doors open to the pavilion. You can go in the front door, but... Like the educational series.
Oh, when it's in a public thing?
Yeah.
Should be a good question for the chamber because they lock and unlock that door.
Yeah, but not that portion.
Mm-hmm.
The public bathrooms in that foyer.
Mm-hmm.
They could
lock
it. I realize that, but
yeah.
It wasn't designed that way.
No.
And their lease doesn't include the public bathrooms. They don't pay to clean the bathrooms.
We do have an agreement with them to help manage the space for the rentals.
I realize that, but they're not. It never was in that agreement that they control locking off a public bathroom.
That's true.
Perhaps that is something that could be considered. One of the questions that we had was whether an additional fountain was a solution looking for a problem or whether there were other solutions that could be more cost effective. And if the fountains are not being used only because there's a locked door that should be unlocked, you know, that might be some cost savings in terms of fountains.
So really it could be kept open because they have the inner doors that they could lock and can't go.
It always was
in.
That was when we built the building.
I agree.
I can tell you that one of the reasoning, and I'm not suggesting it, I'm just saying this is I'm the messenger.
Don't kill you.
Is that when you do have an organization that's rented the building, that the expectation is that those bathrooms go along with that rental, and that when you have a private organization that's rented the building, if you allow public access to the bathrooms, there's kind of a mixture of responsibility, who's responsible for what happens in those bathrooms. And so the chamber, as I understand it, their opinion has been that if there's a private group using the space, that they need to have private access to those bathrooms, and that it shouldn't be left open to the public through that back door.
Because they have an event, and they would not want somebody from the public coming in the door and using a public restroom.
Here's an example. When weddings are done, they move in there, and those are dressing rooms for weddings and all the stuff that goes with gowns and tuxedos. It's like a dressing room.
So we had a committee that we formed 2 years ago called the CCAB, and it was a Community Center Advisory Board, I think is what we called it, or what it was called. And it was a group of stakeholders with the Chamber of Commerce obviously leasing the space. And then we had city representatives sit in on the meetings to take notes and figure out what direction we need to go, if there's anything that we need to do, funding sources, stuff like that. In those meetings, it came up that we had a wedding, paid $900 for the building, and the woman's dress was ruined by the mud in the lobby from the kids coming off the baseball field going into the restrooms. She drug it through, it was all muddy, she cried for days. It's a woman on her wedding day, the best day of her life. And I kind of sympathize with her a little bit on that point, is that at that point it was a public restroom, and the CCAB determined that if we are renting that for $900 a day, they should have the ability to have a clean space to do whatever they need to do, changing their clothes, putting on tuxedos, whatever it is, And it should be clean, and it should be theirs for the day and not be interrupted by the public.
And there are public restrooms less than 100 feet away.
That we spent quite a bit of money remodeling for the sea
cow. Oh, the old ones?
Yeah, we remodeled those so that they're adequate for folks to use.
They're very adequate.
When the pavilion had to be locked up for
rent.
So
ever
it became not a habit to unlock those doors anymore because of that.
Is it in the rental agreement that the bathrooms are yours?
The whole space is yours with the kitchen.
With the kitchen, yeah.
I thought the kitchen was an add-on charge.
No.
No?
Okay. No, because it's not a... Okay. The kitchen is really just a prep space, not a...
Sure.
Just a comment, too, is if we approve a special events permit that's serving alcohol, it can't be open to the public on certain restrictions. So if the alcohol permit gets approved and there's public access for some reason, we've got to be careful there, too.
Yeah, good point. So perhaps a drinking fountain outside.
Sounds like a lot cheaper than all the rest of these things. Oh, go ahead.
I don't belong to the council, but could I make a suggestion?
Oh, sure.
Could there be a possibility you already have water lines to that building, you already have a water fountain? Why couldn't you hook a water line up and run it out to the side of the building? And it would be really easy access. It'd be outside of the park. You wouldn't have to worry about rodents, et cetera. It's all cement there. And it would probably be a much cheaper way of going than having to dig up in the park again.
I can speak to this a little bit.
Go ahead.
I've done some extensive research down there for a drinking fountain. So with the ADA component involved with the drinking fountain, the backflow device necessary not to contaminate our domestic water supply if something gets put in the fountain, and the need for a waistline for the fountain, we are very restricted on the area that we can actually put one in without going through the brand new sidewalk or adding to that brand new sidewalk. And huge cost to bring those people back in, do the ground prep, and then pour that and stamp it and try to get it to match what we have. So I identified a couple locations, none of which are cheap, but maybe a little bit easier. One of them is on the corner of the pavilion. We have water source, we have a sewer source on the corner, but it's outside of the gated area in the park. There's another source that I'm trying to identify at the point. Yesterday, I'm frantically trying to find a key to the Rainbow Girls booth because there is utilities in there, but I've been locked out of that. I don't know whose lock it is, but it's getting cut off today at noon. Our locks will be on that today afternoon because it's our building. We have to have access to it. There's several reasons why. Anyway, that could potentially be an area that we could put a fountain in if we can find a waistline and the water lines already there. That may be our cheapest route, and it's inside the gated area, inside the fences. So that's what I'm looking at today.
And you've probably thought of this, but could we mount one to the exterior of the old bathroom and tie into the interior?
So I've looked at that, and it's extensive concrete removal. We have to cut it out, break it out, get to the waistline, get to the water line that's inside the building, so we have to go through the cinder block building, and I think it's going to be probably cost prohibitive based on our conversation and the emails that have gone back and forth of kind of the ballpark we're looking at for the cost.
So I appreciate this coming up here because you kind of get an idea of our world. It's things that sound really quick, simple, let's do it. It's like 9 times out of 10, and it's all sorts of issues.
Have you looked at the Tillicum House on the side?
I have.
Because there's restrooms there?
Yeah, we have to cut asphalt to get to the waistline.
Yeah, that's
fine. And the park restroom is the same way. Just about anywhere we go except for the pavilion, the northeast corner of the pavilion, or the major booth, I think we'll be doing some substantial asphalt or concrete work to reach that.
I've asked to come up with an estimate on those locations, so council can decide whether they want to do that or not. I mean, we'll get that for you.
And the estimates on just the drinking fountain alone, Griffintown has a drinking fountain, and next to it's a little doggy drinking fountain.
Yeah.
Just the cost of the unit itself is about $5,000.
Wow.
Because it's ADA accessible, it's frost-free, it's got a backflow device in it. There's a lot of components that go into a thought process of an outdoor fountain that has water in it year round. And we have to have it drained, it has to be frost free, and it has to have a backflow system.
And it has to be accessible.
And it has to have a water supply.
So.
I know a guy who's got some plumbing experience who stepped up to help the city. Maybe he's in the park someday. He can eyeball around.
I did that. I donated.
Could he send us a bill?
Glenn Gossage Park on the corner of Alabama. And
yeah, just turn to the work.
So then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, you can't donate. Your donation ended up costing me $2,500 to go back and pay my guys prevailing wage and sign. It was a great donation.
Maybe just ideas. You don't have access to finance.
Back to the wedding thing. I mean, because they need, are you guys using those offices in the corner, or are you just storing stuff?
Yeah.
Are you using them?
Yeah.
You go in there and actually do things? Okay.
We did yesterday. All
right. Take away that idea.
We did yesterday.
Okay. I'm going to put the ideas in there. I
see where you were going with this. But
I don't know what Heritage is doing, but we were in there yesterday.
Okay, all right. I'll keep my hands off of it.
Anything else? I think we beat that up enough.
Well, there's more.
Of course. Kevin wants to talk.
I was just going to, on a completely separate topic.
Okay.
In between meetings, I did have a conversation with Mike Bollinger down at the treatment plant. They're doing the biosolids removal, and you'll remember that we had a contract come through for the biosolids removal recently. Wanted to let everybody know that we are finding that there are more solids in the lagoons than what had been anticipated. So we're probably looking at an additional $60,000 for removal of biosolids. It should fit within the budgeted amount. The amount that we had for the contract was less than what was included in the budget. We're going to need to increase the contract amount and do additional biosolids removal, prepping for the treatment plant upgrade. When I get more definitive costs and have an amendment to the contract, I'll bring that forward. But I just wanted to let everybody know since we're...
Wow, Mike was like a hero 5 minutes ago, and you just ruined it.
Is that an annual
yes.
activity?
Yes.
What did we spend last year?
I'm going to throw
less
out a wag.
Less than
$60,000. No,
I was
going to
say,
I
thought it was like
our contract this year... is going to go up to, I think we have $240,000 in the budget available for it. I think last year we spent, or last time we had it done, it was, I want to say $180,000, but I could be incorrect about that.
That's
but somewhere in that upwards of $150,000 range.
Okay.
I don't want to be the guy to ask why we have more biosolids, but that just, at what point?
We develop an estimate of how much is in the lagoon, but we don't actually know until they get into the lagoon.
Oh, no, I can understand that. It's just, where is it coming from?
What?
I know that. I don't want... It just, why is it increasing so exponentially?
High fiber.
Oh. Well, you're probably right.
So it's the city health,
Healthy
city program
that's
actually driving those...
Is that still single bidder, one person?
Well, we have, Fire Mountain is still the same company.
Still single bidder.
Well,
single.
We had that trouble.
Right? Yeah, I remember that story.
We won't talk about that.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
Dig up the old crown.
Bo may have something more.
We have 5 minutes left, maybe six. If it's the right arena, I would love to address a question Lori asked earlier. Why did the city quit maintaining the buildings inside Pine Tree Park?
I think we established that the city never did quit.
So, we had a gentleman working for the city of Ferndale within the Parks Department for many, many years. His name was Fred. His sole purpose in life was to work at Pioneer Park. That's what he did, 8 hours a day, every day. He maintained the facilities, he built decks on them, he built porches, he built volunteer groups came down to help him with limited success. Gary was one of those at one time. They put on little lean-tos, porch covers, just different things Fred did for the city, 8 hours a day, and he paid it. In 2003, we abolished the Parks Department. Fred was absorbed by Public Works. No longer are we doing anything with parks. Our parks and maintenance took a big budgetary hit, and we lost staff to parks, although insubordinately maybe, I put some people back in parks because I knew that it would cost us a fortune to get them back someday if we let them get overgrown. So we kept maintaining them to the lowest level that we could possibly do it, kind of undercover without being really noticed. Fred ended up retiring because the public works scene just wasn't his deal at that time. He was coming up on retirement. It was hard labor work. Just didn't fit him that great. We reestablished some sort of parks, but never did establish a parks department again. And then we built, since that time, the Conoco Complex, Star Park. We've got several community parks that we've built since then, and our time is just not available to spend in Pioneer Park like we used to. And nor do we have a Fred that has any history of those buildings. Like when they were brought in, Fred knew where they came from. Fred knew how to maintain them. Fred knew who to call to get stuff done. We lost all that communication, all that transparency when Fred left. It was a little bit of a hit to the city of Ferndale, and we've never reestablished that back with another city employee. So to answer Lori's question short, we just don't have that guy anymore. Don't have that person. And if we're going to move forward with... If we're going to move forward with maintaining the facilities or coming to an agreement, I would propose that we have a contract every year for somebody to come in and evaluate the buildings at the beginning of every year and say, X, Y, and Z, put it in your budget for next year because we're going to need to do this. I don't think that inspection can be done by the Heritage Society. Can be done by the Old Settlers Association, and I sure as hell don't think it should be done by the City of Ferndale, because we're all going to be battling whether or not this list was priority for them, or them.
Yeah. Yes, excellent.
We need to just find a third party, fourth party resource to say, this is who we trust to do the inspections, what they say needs to be done. And it's thorough, it's finished, and we can bring a budget to council based on somebody's input that actually inspected those facilities and knows something about those facilities. We're running out of people that have been around them enough to know the history and how they're fixed. And when we run out of those people and it's only young people left, we can't lose the heritage that's down there inside that. I mean, the comment was made, there's millions down there. We can't insure those buildings for what they're worth because you can never replace what's in them.
Yeah.
So if they're falling apart, somebody needs to bring that to our attention, and it needs to be repaired, and we don't have the professional staff within the city to be able to do it.
Do you get that on your notebook?
Absolutely. And so council should be reminded that we are hoping to have a study session on July 15th before council. And one of the reasons why I bring it up is this is kind of a, what would you like to see in the budget, you know, for 2020, you know, specific line items where it's not the decision cards. We're not doing that anymore, but this is a perfect example of, hey, for the 2020 budget, let's put in money for a third party sort of thing.
Give us your projects in July so we can get them all priced out and try and fit them in the budget.
So we can avoid the 2019 budget and have more.
No last minute things in November, yeah. July.
Oh, it's not like you give us any last-minute things.
No, never. Totally. Always timely.
A one-way street.
Thank you.
No
Your
problem.
Your honesty just yes. Refreshing.
Yes. I don't know why you haven't figured it out.
Some people will say I'm hard-headed. We're all done, sir. We're adjourned.